Chapter 9. The whole world on fire. She spoke to him, and he understood her. What the girl said was, "Ulysses, come here, Ulysses." And without thinking, he moved towards her. "It's okay," she said, and he believed her. It was astonishing. Everything was astonishing. The setting sun was illuminating each blade of grass. It was reflecting off the girl's glasses, making a halo of light around the girl's round head, setting the whole world on fire. The squirrel thought, "When did things become so beautiful? And if it has always been this way, how is it that I never noticed before?" "Listen to me," the girl said. "My name is Flora, and your name is Ulysses." "Okay," thought the squirrel. She put her hand on him. She picked him up. She cradled him in her left arm. He felt nothing but happiness. Why had he always been so terrified of humans? He couldn't imagine. Actually, he could imagine. There had been that time with the boy and the BB gun. There had, truthfully, been a lot of incidents with humans, some involving BB guns, some not. And all of them had been violent, terrifying, and soul-destroying. But this was a new life, and he was a changed squirrel. He felt spectacular, strong, smart, capable, and also hungry. He was very, very hungry. Chapter 10, Squirrel Smuggling. Flora's mother was in the kitchen. She was typing. She wrote on an old typewriter, and when she pounded the keys, the kitchen table shook and the plates on the shelves rattled and the silverware in the drawers cried out in a metallic kind of alarm. Flora had decided that this was part of the reason her parents had divorced. Not the noise of the writing, but the writing itself, specifically the writing of romance. Flora's father had said, "I think your mother is so in love with her books about love that she doesn't love me anymore." And her mother had said, "Ha! Your father is so far off in left field that he wouldn't recognize love if it stood up in his soup and sang." Flora had a hard time imagining what love would be doing standing in a bowl of soup and singing, but these were the kinds of idiotic words her parents spoke. And they said the words to each other, even though they were pretending they were talking to Flora. It was all very annoying. "What are you doing?" her mother said to Flora. She was sucking on a pitzer pop. It made her words sound rocky and sharp-edged. Her mother used to smoke, and when she stopped, but she still had to have something in her mouth when she typed. So she consumed a lot of pitzer pops. This one was orange-flavored. Flora could smell it. "Oh, nothing," said Flora, and she glanced at the squirrel in her arms. "Good," said her mother. She whacked the carriage return on the typewriter without looking up, and she kept typing. "Are you still standing there?" her mother said, and she typed some more words. She hit the carriage return again. "I'm on a deadline here. It's hard to concentrate with you standing over me breathing like that." "I could stop breathing," said Flora. "Oh, don't be ridiculous," said her mother. "Go upstairs and wash your hands. We're eating soon." "Okay," said Flora, and she walked past her mother and into the living room, still carrying Ulysses in the crook of her arm. It didn't seem possible, but it was true. She had smuggled a squirrel into the house, and she had done it right under her mother's nose or behind her back or something. In the living room, at the base of the stairs, the little shepherdess lamp was waiting, a pink-cheeked smirk plastered on her face. Flora hated the little shepherdess. Her mother had bought the lamp with her first royalty check from her first book on Feathered Wings of Joy, which was the stupidest title for a book that Flora had ever heard in her life. Her mother had sent away to London for the lamp. When it arrived, she unpacked it, plugged it in, and then she clapped her hands and said, "Oh, she's so beautiful. Isn't she beautiful? I love her with all my heart." Flora's mother never called Flora beautiful. She never said that she loved her with all her heart. Luckily, Flora was a cynic and didn't care whether her mother loved her or not. "I think that I will call her Marianne," her mother had said. "Marianne," said Flora, "you're going to name a lamp?" "Marianne, shepherdess to the lost," said her mother. "Who's lost exactly?" said Flora. But her mother hadn't bothered to answer the question. "This," Flora said to the squirrel, "is the shepherdess. Her name is Marianne. Unfortunately, she lives here too." The squirrel considered Marianne. Flora narrowed her eyes and stared at the lamp. She knew that it was ridiculous, but sometimes she felt as if Marianne knew something that she didn't know, that the little shepherdess was keeping some dark and terrible secret. "You stupid lamp," said Flora. "Mind your own business. Mind your sheep." Actually, there was just one sheep, a tiny lamb, curled up at Marianne's pink-slippered feet. Flora always wanted to say to the little shepherdess, "If you're such a great shepherdess, where are the rest of your sheep, huh?" "We can just ignore her," said Flora to Ulysses. She turned away from the smug and glowing Marianne and climbed the stairs to her room, holding Ulysses gently, carefully, in her arms. He didn't glow, but he was surprisingly warm for someone so small. Chapter 11, A Gigantic Vat of Incandesto. She put Ulysses down on her bed, and he looked even smaller sitting there in the bright overhead light. He also looked pretty bald. Good grief, said Flora. The squirrel certainly didn't look very heroic. But then, again, neither did the nearsighted, unassuming janitor, Alfred T. Slipper. Ulysses looked up at Flora, and then he looked down at his tail. He seemed relieved to see it. He lowered his nose and sniffed along the length of it. I'm hoping that you can understand me, said Flora. The squirrel raised his head, and he stared at her. Wow, said Flora. Great, okay. I can't understand you, and that's a small problem, but we'll figure out a way to communicate, okay? Nod at me if you understand what I'm saying, like this. Flora nodded, and Ulysses nodded back. Flora's heart leaped up high in her chest. I'm going to try and explain what happened to you, okay? Ulysses nodded his head very fast. And again, Flora's heart leaped up high inside of her in a hopeful and extremely uncynical kind of way. She closed her eyes. Don't hope, she told her heart. Do not hope. Instead, observe. Do not hope instead of observe was a piece of advice that appeared often in Terrible Things That Can Happen to You. According to Terrible Things, hope sometimes got in the way of action. For instance, if you looked at your elderly Aunt Edith choking on a piece of steak from the all-you-can-eat buffet, and you told yourself, man, I sure hope she's not choking, you would waste several valuable life-saving Heimlich maneuver performing seconds. Do not hope instead of observe were words that Flora, as a cynic, had found useful in the extreme. She repeated them to herself a lot. Okay, said Flora. She opened her eyes and she looked at the squirrel. What happened is that you got vacuumed. And because you got vacuumed, you might have, powers. Ulysses gave her a questioning look. Do you know what a superhero is? The squirrel continued to stare at her. Right, said Flora. Of course you don't. A superhero is someone with special powers, and he uses those powers to fight the forces of darkness and evil, like Alfred T. Slipper, who is also Incandesto. Ulysses blinked several times in a nervous kind of way. Look, said Flora, and she grabbed the Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto off her desk, and she pointed at Alfred in his janitor uniform. See, she said. This is Alfred, and he is an unassuming, nearsighted, stuttering janitor who works cleaning the multi-floor offices of the Paxatacket Life Insurance Company. He lives a quiet life in his studio apartment with only his parakeet, Dolores, for company. Ulysses looked down at the picture of Alfred and then up at Flora. Okay, said Flora. So one day, Alfred takes a tour of the Incandesto cleaning solution factory, and he slips. Alfred T. Slipper, get it? Into a gigantic vat of Incandesto, and it changes him. And so now, when there is a great crisis, when Maleficence is apparent, Alfred turns himself into, and Flora flipped through the pages of the comic and stopped at the panel that showed the glowing, powerful Incandesto. Incandesto, she said. See, Alfred T. Slipper becomes a righteous pillar of light, so painfully bright, that the most heinous villain trembles before him and confesses. Flora realizes that she was shouting the teeniest bit. She looked down at Ulysses. His eyes were enormous in his small face. Flora tried to sound calm, reasonable. She lowered her voice. As Incandesto, she said, Alfred sheds light into the darkest corners of the universe. He can fly. Also, he visits the elderly. And that's what a superhero is. And I think you might be one, too. At least, I think you have powers so far. All we know about you is that you're really strong. Ulysses nodded. He puffed out his chest. Flora! Her mother shouted. Get down here! Dinner's ready! But what else can you do? Said Flora to the squirrel. And if you truly are a superhero, how will you fight evil? Ulysses furrowed his brow. Flora bent down. She put her face close to his. Think about it, she said. Imagine what we might be able to do. Flora Bell! Her mother shouted, I can hear you up there talking to yourself. You shouldn't talk to yourself. People will hear you and think you're strange. I'm not talking to myself, Flora said. Well then, with whom are you speaking? A squirrel. There was a long silence from down below. And then her mother shouted, that's not funny, Flora Bell. Get down here right now. Chapter 12. When Flora came back upstairs after dinner, she found Ulysses curled up in a tight little ball, sleeping on her pillow. She put out her hand and touched his forehead with one finger. His eyes twitched, but they didn't open. She picked up the pillow and moved it carefully to the foot of the bed, and she changed into her pajamas, lay down, and imagined the words. A superhero squirrel rested at her feet, and so she was not lonely at all, emblazoned on the ceiling above her. That's exactly right, she said. Before the divorce, before her father had moved out of the house and into an apartment, he had often sat beside her at night and read aloud to her from the Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto. It was his favorite comic. It always cheered him up to read about Alfred T. Slipper and Dolores. Her father did an excellent parakeet imitation. Holy Bagumba, he would say in the voice of Dolores. Holy unanticipated occurrences! Holy unanticipated occurrences was what Dolores would say when something truly unexpected and unbelievable was happening, which was basically all the time. Life was pretty exciting when you were in Candesto's parakeet. Flora sat up and looked down at the sleeping squirrel. Holy unanticipated occurrences, she said. It sounded better when her father said it. Not that he said it these days. He didn't say much of anything anymore. Her father had always been a sad, quiet man, but since the divorce, he had become even sadder and quieter. Which was fine with Flora, really. Cynics don't like a lot of chatter. Besides, Alfred T. Slipper was a quiet man, too. For instance, when he was on his tour of the Incandesto manufacturing facility and had fallen into the vat of Incandesto, he hadn't said a single word. Not even oops! Words had appeared above his head, however, and Flora's father had read those words to her so many times that she could recite them by heart. He is an unassuming janitor, but he will dare to battle the darkness of the universe. Do you doubt him? Do not. Alfred T. Slipper will live to fight the forces of evil. He will become known as to the world as Incandesto. Flora lay back down. If the squirrel were in a comic, she thought, what words would have appeared in the space over his head? When he was sucked into the vacuum cleaner. He is an unassuming squirrel. Yep. But he will soon conquer villains of all stripes. He will defend the defenseless and protect the weak. That sounded good, too. He will become known to the world as Ulysses. Holy Bagumba! Anything could happen. Together, she and Ulysses could change the world. Or something. Do not hope. Instead, observe, Flora whispered to calm herself. Just observe the squirrel, and then she fell asleep. Chapter 13. The Typewriter. He woke in darkness. His heart was beating very fast. Something had happened. What was it? He couldn't think. He was too hungry to think. He sat up and looked around the room. He was in bed, and Flora's feet were in his face. She was snoring. He could see the outline of her round head. He loved that head, but man, was he hungry. The door to the bedroom was open. Ulysses got off the pillow and went out of the room. He crept along the dark hallway, and he went down the stairs and past the little shepherdess. The house was dark, but there was a light on in the kitchen. The kitchen! That was exactly where he needed to be. He put his nose up and he sniffed. He smelled something cheesy and wonderful. He ran through the living room and the dining room and into the kitchen. He climbed up on the counter and there it was. A lone cheese puff perched on the edge of the red Formica countertop. He ate it. It was delicious. Maybe there were more cheese puffs. He opened a cabinet and yes, there was a big bag with the beautiful word Cheesomania written in golden script on the front of it. He ate until the bag was empty, and then he burped softly, gratefully, and he looked around the kitchen. In the darkened kitchen, the unassuming squirrel worked slowly. He whisked. His whiskers trembled. His heart sank. Was he fighting evil? Who could say?